This is Alex. I'm from Boston.
Hello, this is Jackie, and I'm from Houston.
Hey, this is Rahul from Stanford.
And we are the Premier Chefs.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chels, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to you on your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your hosts, Jackie, and I'm here with my good friend Rahul. And before we start, we just want to give a quick message that our Instagram has been suspended due to some unforeseen, issues that arose. We have built a new one, and we are going to start posting on there regularly. But if you're a listener and wondering what happened, it has been suspended. We've built a new one. It's at the Premier Chels Pod. So look out for that one. Please go follow it. And we will be posting our regular updates and episodes on there as well. So Rahul, how are you doing, my friend, other than that little message over there?
I'm doing good. I'm glad you opened up with that and got that out of the way. So yeah, we're back on Instagram. And as Jackie said, it's at the Premier Chels Pod. And I do have to give a shout out to some of our friends and connections that we had through our old account. That have kind of shared our new podcast account and helped us maybe gain some of our followers back. So it's a long way from where we were, but we've started the road and we're on there. But yeah, if you're listening and you haven't followed us yet, definitely go do that, please.
And that's not the bad news of the week, losing Instagram page. The bad news of the week is Chelsea losing 4-1 to Newcastle. And Rahul, before I turn it over to you, we did the build-up to this one, my friend. You and I were cautiously optimistic. We said it'd be a cagey match. We could get something out of this. I boldly went for a 3-1 prediction, a win to Chelsea. You went for a 2-1 prediction. It started off okay, but honestly, I don't think it went in any way that you or I had come close to predicting at all.
Not at all. I said we're not going to hit 4. Well, we didn't, but the opposition definitely did. And honestly, wasn't even cagey because Newcastle, no. If you look at the stats, had 14 shots on goal, 5 on target. They had more of the ball and more of the passing. So overall, even with the injuries that we spoke about within their squad and the issues that they've been having, they put out 11 that was way more determined and hungry than our 11. And we saw what happens when you play as a team. So I'm sure we'll get into the analysis. But yeah, disappointing return for Chelsea after the international break.
It was indeed. And I think it started off a little slow from the Chelsea standpoint. And when Newcastle scored their goal, I sat back and I said, maybe this is the wake-up call we need. And obviously it was a wake-up call. And Raheem Sterling with an absolute blinder of a free kick, which I know we're not maybe breaking down the game the traditional way we do, which is starting 11, running through plays, but maybe some key moments and some discussion points. But Raheem Sterling's been doing the business for us in the last 3 or 4 games, Rahul. And this one, I'm screaming at the TV for him to pass, pass, pass. He doesn't. He wins the free kick, but ultimately he takes what he can from this free kick. And can you describe it any other way than it was absolutely perfect?
It's been a long time since I have seen us score a free kick, and maybe I'm missing one, but I can't think of one, at least in the last 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah, and especially from Raheem Sterling at his time at Chelsea. So when he stepped up over the ball, I'm like, not sure what to expect, but I kind of know this is not going in. And then suddenly he gets it over the wall, it dips right into the net, and I'm like, whoa. what a beauty, whatever the emotion you had with your Houston buddies in the bar. It was a real kind of like moment for us to come back into it. And it was a little scrappy from us. We were not the better side for the first 23 minutes and maybe not even for the rest of the game. But in that moment, it suddenly was that spark that we needed to say, okay, we're back in this. It's 1-1. We've shushed the home crowd, which we need to talk about. But in that moment, it really felt like this could be the turning point for us in this game.
And it seems like the theme of this season is we at least don't roll over right away. I know last season we've talked about conceding a goal, and that was it. You and I know, turn off the TV, go back to bed, my friend, because there's no comeback for Chelsea. And ultimately, the story is there's no comeback for Chelsea in this particular game. But you felt a little bit of maybe something could happen. We could go off and maybe win this game. Not that we were the better team, like you've said, but we always had a little bit of edge of fight in us. But you talked about that spark or something that Raheem did. But Rahul, within minutes, within seconds of that goal, Newcastle are back and almost scored through a header through Joe Linton. And you wonder, they're here to really extinguish any flame that we have. And they're probably the more hungry side, as you said. I was looking at the lineup before we started recording. They have a 17 or 18-year-old in the squad. And even he looks more lively than some of the players in our team. And I think that's a worry because you've got to wonder, and maybe this is our first big discussion point. Pochettino is not on the sideline. He's got, I think it's his third yellow for the season, or it's maybe a suspension from what he said in the previous match. He's obviously in the crowd, and you say, is the passion or is the energy from this team coming from him? Are they maybe looking to him on the sidelines for some guidance, and he's not there, and the team just goes, we'll drop a level or two. And in the Premier League, dropping just a little bit, you can get really, really punished very quickly.
You definitely can, and especially at Newcastle's ground with the way they've been the last season coming into this season. They were sitting in seventh at the start of this game, so not where they want to be, but
right.
they obviously have had some issues, and they come together, Jackie. You mentioned Pochettino's missing for us. I'm just going to use Newcastle as the example. They've had a few players missing. Yes, their manager was there, but you mentioned Lewis Miley, who started at the age of 17. You talk about Isak coming back. You talk about Almiron coming back. But still, the squad is nowhere near what we've seen in the last few months, even earlier in the year towards the end of last season. So they are making the most of what they've got. And I look at us and we say, Pochettino's not there. We drop a level. It shouldn't be the case. There's 11 professionals on our side on the pitch. You're looking at a World Cup winner, Enzo Fernandez. You're looking at Thiago Silva, who's been there, done that with every team he's played on. Reece James, you look at, he's now captain of Chelsea Football Club. So there's enough experience, enough know-how to say, sure, our manager is not there, but we have respect for ourselves, we have respect for our teammates, and we have respect for the opposition to not come here and drop our standards, because you know what will happen. Newcastle will roll you over like they did eventually. Yep. And that's really a concern for me coming out of this, is maybe I was getting a little carried away, maybe I was getting a little deluded over the Spurs result and then the Man City result, where I'm saying, maybe we've turned a corner here. And this game really put me back and said, whatever corner I've been seeing, it doesn't exist, because we're still the Chelsea it's evolving, it's learning, it's a young squad. And this was a great learning experience, but a painful one.
You opened up the door for a discussion around getting carried away. And I know you said maybe you got carried away. I'm sure I got carried away with the predictions and saying we can beat them 3-1. Is this a fan's expectation of us getting carried away, Rahul? Or is this the players? Because you score 4 against Manchester City and maybe you close your eye or turn a blind eye to the fact that you conceded 4. And on that day, you get a penalty, things go your way, you're able to score a goal here. The one that you're missing, Nicholas Jackson, in some cases, it goes in for him and it just looks good, or it patches over the fact that we conceded 4. And so I'm almost wondering whether it's not just us, but the players that said, hey, we got 4 against the champions or the champions elect. And so we are, I don't want to say the finished article, but we've made progress. We're here. We can do this. And you come against a Newcastle side and you've already highlighted that they've not got the full first 11 that they used to, but they've got that grit and they've got that desire to break us down. And ultimately they punish us. And we'll talk a little bit more about the situation of the goals and all that later. But is it the players getting carried away? Is it Pochettino's job to maybe settle them down and bring them down to earth, saying, I'm proud of you guys for scoring 4 against Manchester City, but you conceded 4. So just think about that and just let that sit with you.
Yeah, it has to be, because on the face of it, at the end of that game 2 weeks ago against City, we're feeling great. We're feeling positive. You can hear the players in the interview saying we showed great character. We came back 3 times from being down and drew a game against the champions, which is all great. But we had to kick on from there. You and I spoke about it in the last episode, and we ran through our next few fixtures and said Newcastle is the first one coming back, but we really need to set a stage for ourselves here where we push on and continue against some of the other sides that are to come. But that didn't happen. And it really takes you back to 2 weeks ago to say, well, what was the discussion within the squad? What was the message from Pochettino coming out of it? Which couldn't have all been positive, because we did concede 4, like you said, at home. Yeah. Or was it really positive and it was maybe more towards, hey, you fought against the best team in the world, definitely in England. And we won't know that, but coming and seeing this game and even the way we started, it almost felt like the international break came at the wrong time, but we also kind of took it as a, well, we're on a good run here. We've drawn one game, drawn the other one, and it's Newcastle. They have injuries. They don't have the players that they do, but we do, and we'll just do what we do and we'll get away with it. But that's not the Premier League. That doesn't happen. You can't just show up and expect to win. You really have to work hard and play for each other. And that's really missing from this team. So, yeah, I think the players may have been carried away a little bit. Yep. And this was the wake-up call that they needed. I hope so, because we'll see how the next few weeks go. But losing 4-1, it hurts.
It hurts a lot, not just a little bit. But I want to echo about the international break, because I want to make sure we don't use it as an excuse. I think that it definitely broke the rhythm that we were going through, and we were getting into the spirit of scoring goals. Yes, we were conceding, but the team was playing some beautiful football at times where we could see the projects coming together. These guys know who's going to be where, who's making the runs. And so obviously the rhythm is broken there, and you start to think, boy, would we have done any better without the international break? The answer is maybe. You will never really know with the rhythm break in there. But I think you've really outlined some of the things of being a professional and showing that desire and hunger, regardless of if there's an international break or there's a Carling Cup or FA Cup. Imagine we had Champions League in between all of this, Rahul, and we had to figure that out as well. We want this team to go back to Europe, and it doesn't seem like we're prepared to even take those breaks midweek and then come back to the Premier League and fight again. So it's definitely one of those situations where we have to be careful, and I know that as Chelsea fans, when we get a couple wins again, we'll be right back here on this discussion and say we're excited and we're predicting 3-1s and 4-1s. But the reality is, I don't think we have the finished article yet. We're going to take some time to really get there. So,
and Jackie, I think you bring up, you said a right phrase, which is, we're not the finished article yet. We do have results like we did against Spurs, but we forget that was against nine men. And even at that point, they could have tied the game, or they could have come out of it with a scoreline that was a lot closer than it ended up being. And then the City game is something that will not happen again when we play them. We're not going to be scoring four times against them. It happened. It was a one-off. City had an off day. Even on an off day, they scored twice, four times, I beg your pardon. So I think remembering that we're not the finished article, we may have games where we seem like we are. We may have games where it comes together and connects, but it's like a roller coaster, right? At one point, you'll be up, and we saw it again in the Newcastle game. You will be down because Rob Sanchez, how long has he been here?
Yeah.
Reece James in and out of the squad. Yes, Thiago Silva has been in the squad for a few seasons, but Benoit Badiashile comes in out of nowhere. Cucurella is playing left back now, but a few weeks ago it was Colwell. A few weeks before that it was Ben Chilwell. Leslie Ugochukwu comes in with Enzo next to him. And how long has Leslie played for in this squad? Enzo is taking the burden of being that leader or senior member. I move forward a little bit. Sterling's been here for two seasons now, but Cole Palmer, 4 months.
Yeah.
I forget who the other person was that started with them in attack. Conor Gallagher, yes. Two seasons now at Chelsea. And then Jackson, 4 months. So none of them have had this experience at Newcastle as a team. And it's going to take time. And we need to remember that. So I'm going to be a little more cautious with my predictions going forward.
I think we all will. But, you know, going into halftime, Rahul, I thought, you know, 1-1, yes, we made some sloppy mistakes, and maybe we can come back into this game, because even though we're cautious, I think we always want to be optimistic as well and try and get the result. But I'm sitting there having a good time. The first 10 minutes comes in, and we've not really started strong. And of course, Newcastle score in the form of Jamal Lascelles, and it's from a set piece, Rahul, and I'm watching this, staring at the screen, wondering how we are allowing him to go unmarked. And I know it's difficult because he finds the space or finds the room and he's between two players or whatnot. But you've got to wonder, how is a team that is trying to work together week in, week out on training? We have pretty decent sized center backs. Okay, not a huge left-sided player, but Ugochukwu, Conor Gallagher, they're pretty physical, strong guys. How is a player like Lascelles able to get away. And I think before we start recording, you said, Jackie, it's the same thing that happened in Manchester City where Kanji just goes free, popped in ahead, and we're sitting there kind of scratching our head. How did this happen? It's almost like we're not learning from our mistakes.
We're not. And it really felt like that Akanji goal, but also the first goal City scored where Haaland and Cucurella are having a little mess about and pulling each other's shirts, but eventually it goes against Cucurella. And you're seeing teams target Cucurella as that shorter defender or maybe not as physically, I'm trying to think of the right word, but not as physical as maybe a Benoit Badiashile or Thiago Silva. And they're putting their taller players, attackers, defenders against him and whipping the ball far post and saying, just pop it in. And we're not learning from that. You and I have picked up on it. So I'm definitely sure that our coaching staff has picked up on it. But what is the fix? How are we going to help Cucurella? How are we going to maybe prevent even the cross from coming in? And if we can't, then does Benoit Badiashile have to be a little more aware, or does Leslie Ukwuchukwu have to be a little more aware and say, I'm going to drop in and give that cover? But again, Jackie, that's, you can't do that when you've been away for 2 weeks or 10 days or so with the national team. You come back, you have two training sessions, and then you get thrown into a game like this. So it is going to take time. It is something that we'll have to continue doing on the training pitch. And watching the footage of this game, I'm sure Pochettino is going to be doing that and sharing what he's learned from that with the players. But yeah, we need to learn from our mistakes. If we don't concede that Jamal Lascelles goal, it's a different game, right? Yes, we may still lose it, but if something comes off where someone is alert or someone is aware and they're not falling asleep, or it just will take some time. But in the interim, it's frustrating to watch because I'm like, we just conceded this goal 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to blame the international break, which is why I was cautious in saying that earlier. And so I'm sitting there and talking to people watching the game. And so instead of blaming the international break, they start to blame Pochettino and maybe his team selection. And they go, well, if Caicedo is in there, that doesn't go in. Or why is Badiashile playing if it could be De Sassi? And Rahul, we conceded four in the game before this. And so those were the same guys that are playing. And yes, it's Manchester City, but don't disrespect Newcastle. They can also score goals and get in there and do the business. Ultimately, you are right. It is simple things that, regardless of who's playing, they need to snuff this out. And so while I'm not going to blame Pochettino for the starting 11, because you have to be able to rotate your team. And last season, Badiashile was one of the shining stars in a very dull team. And you look at Leslie Ugochukwu, young, physically strong, tall. We were just talking about maybe, you know, Cucurella getting marked out. Where is he in this situation? How can he come back and help? And so again, while it's not individual players, I think as a whole, the team, and this is maybe where Pochettino can take some of that burden and say, I don't care who's playing. Is it Caicedo? Is it Leslie Ugochukwu? Is it Badiashile? Is it De Sassi? Is it going to be Fofana, who might be physically fit in a few weeks and may want to come back to the team? As a team, you need to talk to each other. You need to understand the position. You need to watch who's making a run. We already alluded to the fact that Lascelles is going in free without anybody watching him. Why is nobody checking? Why is nobody saying, let's get him through? These are the things that I think we can blame Pochettino a little bit for, and his coaching staff. It's not just him that it comes down to pay some attention to this. At this point, 2-1, I still have a little bit of optimism. Rahul, I say, let me go take a quick bathroom break. I should have done this at halftime, but I decided not to. I come back out and it's 3-1 on the screen. I asked what happened and I saw it with my very own eyes. A silly, silly mistake from Thiago Silva. What can you say about this one, Rahul? Is it just a mistake, or are you seeing more little niggling issues from Thiago Silva this year that says, is this the last season we have with him there?
It's uncharacteristic. It's not something that we've come to see from him. The last one I think of, and I keep referencing this, but there has to be another one in between that this one and that one I'm about to talk about, which is the West Brom one from his debut in 2020.
Wow.
I'm sure there was one more in between, but there's not that many, which is my point here. And you almost have to just take that one on the chin because you know what he can do, what he's capable of. But when you see Thiago Silva losing focus or making a mistake like that, it really makes you wonder what is going on within the mentality, within the squad, within even Thiago Silva himself. Is his mind at the towards the end of the season of thinking about what's coming next, or is this the end of his career? But he's the oldest Chelsea player to be playing at 39 years and I forget how many days, but it's tough for me to criticize him, but it is getting to a point where we are seeing, in this case, a goal get conceded, but in other cases, mistakes where you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult one to swallow. And when you see it, you almost kind of feel your heart drop a little bit, because like I said, while we were carried away and we thought we were winning this game, you're also optimistic. And so when a silly mistake like that happens and it's the third goal, you kind of lose a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith as to what happens next. And I'm in the same boat as you, my friend. I think he's got enough credit in the bank that he gets a couple of, you know, get out of jail free cards. But how much can this continue? And you look at it and you go, he still has been fantastic. And for most of the game, he was good. So I'm sure he can help finish out the season. But while it's too early to talk about this, is what happens next? Is he going to be here next season? Is he going to allow, and by him, I mean, you know, the coaching staff, are they going to allow maybe a Badiashile and De Sassi pairing? Or what do you do when Fofana is fully fit? And you still have not talked about Levi Colwell playing left back. Maybe he's the answer to Thiago Silva in the middle long term. I don't know. So there's a lot to be answered there. It definitely was disheartening, but it's like from bad to worse as you watch, and we're saying 3-1. Oh, maybe we can get another goal and get back into this. But our captain, our solid right back, one of the best in the world when he's playing, also adds fuel to the fire with a silly mistake in pulling, I think it was Anthony Gordon, down for a very cheap second yellow card. And he's off. And from there, Rahul, I think I'm just dejected. And I know that this game is completely over at this point in time.
I think it was over at the third goal. But I praise you for being optimistic, even to thinking that we would at least get a second and maybe come back into it. Just on the Thiago Silva piece, Jackie, as you were speaking about the future and what's to come and some of the names that you mentioned, I'm almost wondering if there is a decision kind of brewing in Pochettino's mind about, does he drop Thiago Silva over the next few weeks and try to bring in some of these younger guys, where it sends a message to Thiago Silva, if you want to continue not just at Chelsea but beyond, you may have to raise it back up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it also says to the other players within the squad, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're not performing, Pochettino will drop you. It doesn't matter if you're a Champions League winner at the club and one of the oldest players with all the experience. If you don't do the business on the pitch, you're open to being dropped. So that is a question that's in my mind. I'm sure there's a lot of other decisions that are far ahead of that one. But if it continues, that almost kind of gets escalated in Pochettino's mind. Reece James, just like a lot of our players, just had an off day, and it was kind of summed up by this decision to control the ball, miscontrol it. It falls into Anthony Gordon's path, and I have to give Anthony Gordon credit to be putting the pressure on, providing the press in the 73rd minute when Newcastle are 3-1 up, to force Reece James to make this mistake and then make a second mistake by bringing him down, which leads to the second yellow. It's a learning experience for Reece. That's all I can say. He's a young captain. He's got to be knowing better. He's got to do better. And I think the first yellow card was for kicking a ball away.
Yep.
So both cards he needs to learn from and come back and be better.
Reece got two cards in this game. Ugochukwu with the yellow. Could have got some other cards. He was pretty aggressive. Raheem Sterling with the yellow. Kukureya with the yellow card. Pochettino in the stands with the yellow card. Levi Colwell came on and got a yellow card. A lot of aggression, Rahul, in this squad, and it's leading to maybe some unnecessary fouls and unnecessary behaviors. Maybe that's the right word, with Reece kicking the ball away, and you kind of look at it. And I know Nicholas Jackson had a stern talking to, because he had five yellows for the season already and had been banned for one game, which just adds the unnecessary look of Chelsea just being an aggressive side. I don't see us as an overly aggressive side yet, but it does have some concern behind maybe the discipline of the team and being a little more intelligent when it comes to making a foul and when not to make a foul, when to kick a ball away and when not to kick a ball away. What are your thoughts on this? I know it's a little bit off the Newcastle game, but overall this season we have got quite a few yellow cards and a couple of reds. I think Malagusta most recently as well.
Yeah, it's something that we maybe didn't see last season, where, like you were alluding to earlier in the episode, where we would go down one and we knew that was it. There was going to be no fight. There seems to be fight. There seems to be some aggression coming in. Sometimes maybe a little bit too much, where we end up with a red card. But I look back to that Spurs game where we kept our cool. We finished it with 11 men. At one point, I didn't think we were going to, but Spurs imploded and we kind of kept ourselves in within the boundaries. But in games like this, at a ground like this, you almost have to mentally come prepared to struggle. As Antonio Conte would say, we have to struggle a little bit here. But maintain your cool, because when you do get the opportunities or when you do get the ball, you need to pick them and make the right decisions. And we weren't doing that, which was adding to the frustration and eventually leading to cards. So it's something, again, for Pochettino to address. But he's also saying that he needs his players to be a lot more aggressive, because maybe we're not winning second balls, or we're not being too nice, which is what he was trying to say. So maybe we will see a few more yellows and reds over the next few weeks.
And I'm all for an aggressive side. I think last season we talked a lot about increasing the aggression, and I don't necessarily see it as aggression, Rahul. I see it as passion. You want your team to want to win that second ball. You want your team to win that tackle. You want your team to have a little bit of bite and a little bit of feistiness when they're playing a team, to let the other team know, like, we're here and we're not afraid to play and we're going to do what we need to do. And at times in the Newcastle game, Rahul, for small, small pockets, we really played some very beautiful football. If you sit back and watch, especially when it was 1-1 or before we concede that second goal, the flow of some of these little movements were showing that we do have a little bit of confidence in this team. And so I'm hoping that passion and that ability to show a little bit of feistiness comes out. But it goes back to what I said. Be a little more intelligent with what you're doing. Don't give away a silly foul. And maybe I'm picking on Reece a little bit here, but him being the club captain, and you talked about somebody who's been here long enough. He's been here, I think, going on 4 seasons now. You want him to be showing the way of passionate, aggressive, without being silly. It doesn't send a good message when we are 3-1 down and our club captain gets sent off for a very simple foul, and the first one's a kick away of the ball. It's one of those things that I think he's young and he's going to learn from it, but there's also a funny stat of we haven't seen Reece James play 3 games in a row for 2 years or something like that, which is if it's an injury thing, he can't help it. But if it's a disciplinary thing, those are the things he needs to work on and show some of the other boys on the team. So definitely an interesting one. Rahul, the game ends 4-1. At that point, Anthony Gordon slots a beautiful one into the corner and we go, you know what? Hats off to Newcastle. They've played well. But I want to talk a little bit about a couple of the key players and you know, maybe guys that didn't perform on the evening. And you're looking at the likes of Palmer in the last few games. He's been brilliant for us. You look at Gallagher. He had an off game, missed a sitter as well. Enzo Fernandez has a shot or two, but has he been the same Enzo Fernandez that we've seen last season? Who's to blame? Are these individual mistakes? Are you looking at the board and saying, maybe you haven't signed the right quality, maybe you haven't signed a striker, an elite striker, to take some of the pressure off of these guys? Was Palmer a last-minute decision? Should we have a couple more Palmers? Is it because Nkunku's injured? What's he going to do when he comes back to the team? I think more of those discussions are needed to wrap up this segment of the Newcastle review.
Yeah, I do blame the board, but not that we didn't sign an elite striker, because we did get Nkunku in, who was having and had a great season with Leipzig. Unfortunately, he got injured, and that kind of messed up the plans from what we even saw in preseason when they were here. But I do blame the board for this sudden transition to we're going to be under 26 or under 25s and just buy players that are younger and have potential, which is great. But we basically ripped up a Champions League winning squad with experience, which also had some young players in it, and said, we're going to go and build a whole new squad, which is fine. But my issue is, when you bring in a whole new squad, you're basically putting them under pressure to say, you've come into Chelsea. our expectations as fans, even though we can say let's give them time, is you need to be winning games. You can have the one-off game where you lose 2-1 or 1-0, but you need to go down fighting, not like you did against Newcastle. So now suddenly you're coming into a new club, you're coming into a new country, and I'm just going to pick on Enzo. You're coming off of the World Cup where you achieved one of the biggest achievements you can as a footballer. You go back to Benfica, Chelsea fight for you for a full month. On the last day, you make it, right? The transfer goes through. You have to move your family over. While you're adjusting with your family, you have to perform on the pitch. And oh, by the way, you're now the key player in the squad in midfield, and you need to perform every game, and you don't have the time or someone to look up to and say, let me learn from you. Let me learn the way the Premier League is. Let me adapt and just have someone to guide him. Yes, we can have managers and coaches, and he was lucky maybe to have Frank Lampard, who was one of the best midfielders in the league, but it has just been very chaotic.
Yep.
And we're now suddenly saying, what are we, 10 games in or something like that? And we're sitting in 10th, and everyone brings up the billion. They've spent a billion and they're sitting in 10th. We expected them to do better. That billion really doesn't mean much at this point. It's just,
fair enough.
We wiped a squad. We rebuilt the squad. That's where the billion has gone. Now the billion needs to turn into a team, a cohesive squad. Yep. They need to build chemistry. They all need to go through this season as a unit and not fall apart like we did last season. Now, that could still happen, but we still need to get through it. And so what I'm trying to say is the board have made decisions, the owners have made decisions that have maybe set us back a few seasons, and it's going to take time. It's going to take some pain in the next, this season, maybe even next season, but we need to stick it out and not keep throwing money. From what I hear, we're now going to bring 3-4 more players in January, which is fine if they have the experience, they know the Premier League. If we're going to go spend money on another youngster out of Portugal or Brazil and say, here you go, now run in the Premier League, it's not going to work.
Listen, I hear what you're saying, and I understand with a lot of change, there comes a lot of patience that we as fans and management and players need for this team to gel together and come together. But this is Chelsea Football Club at the end of the day. And I know it's new ownership and they have a new vision and they're okay giving a manager time and the team time. But it doesn't matter if this is Chelsea Football Club or not. This is one of the biggest teams in the world. You've spent a billion. And I know it's, in your words, it's not a billion that means anything on the pitch yet, which is true. But ultimately, it is a billion that has been spent and you want to see instant results. And I know that's very difficult, but it's hard to look at it and say, Enzo was so good last season, Rahul, and this season, personally, I've not seen him bring too much to the team. And that's a hard one to swallow. And we're starting to put pressure on other players. Conor Gallagher was one who was out the door and all of a sudden he's untouchable. Where was he in this particular game? And Cole Palmer has been the key. We talk about unlocking the midfield and the strike and he's helping. And he disappears in this game. And so I definitely hear your feedback. And I think it's a very, very valid argument. And the board needs to look at themselves and say, let's take a minute. Let's slow down. Do we need to go sign so many more players? We do have the likes of Nkunku coming back to fitness, Lavia coming back to fitness, Carney Chukwuemeka coming back to fitness. Rahul, I've not even seen Nani this season play as much. And so there are a lot of players that can still come in and get the job done. It would be lovely to see Ben Chilwell at left back. We've not seen him play maybe 3 games in a row, just like Reese. But the players themselves also have to look at themselves and say, you signed for Chelsea Football Club. You put pen to paper on a 5, 8, 9-year contract in some cases. And regardless of if it's a project or not, it comes with certain expectations. And so just like we curb our expectations and say we got carried away and we predicted a 3-1 win for Newcastle, they also have to curb their expectations and understand you're not just going to come here, skate by, and nothing happens. You have to give that 100%. Week in, week out, regardless of what the board is doing, because I don't want to take away from what you said, because I think that's very important. But it does come down to week in, week out. What can you do? And losing 4-1 to Newcastle, it's just not good enough on the day. We could have got better than that.
We could have, but I don't see a team right now. I maybe saw it in the Man City game, but it's not a team. It's not players that are fighting for each other. It's a group of 11 men that are working together. But it's not a team that we've seen in the past or even in the last game. I don't want to go back to the Mourinho days where, because it's easy for us to point at that and say that was a team and that was a squad of players that were fighters because that brought us success. And we don't know where this squad is going to end up in terms of that. But what we're seeing on the pitch this season, we've seen flashes where they want to work for each other, but we've also seen results like this against Newcastle, but Brentford, Nottingham Forest, West Ham. And that's concerning, is that we're not learning from that. We're just continuing to show up and expect to maybe just win or get a result. Yeah. And Poch has to take the blame for that from me as well. And you said you don't blame him for the squad. I do a little bit. Why would you play Benoit Badiashile coming back from an injury in this kind of a game where you know Newcastle are going to be fired up? Di Sassi was on the bench. Now, he's also new to the league, and it goes against what I was just saying, but he's maybe worked with Thiago Silva a little bit more this season, or just play Levi Cole in his natural position, who knows the Premier League and maybe knows Newcastle. So it's just growing pains. We're used to just being that Chelsea that is up there. Yep. So we need to curb our, like you said, curb our expectations, but the players also need to step it up. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I think the key take from this is we need to find some consistency. But Rahul, let's pause here. I think we've talked enough about this horrible result. We'll take a break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll come back and talk about some other Premier League games and see how they fared around the other grounds.
Hey guys, the Premier Chels is sponsored by Kickoff Coffee. They are a top quality artisanal roasted coffee. In other words, they're Champions League winner and Premier League winner every single time. They deliver fresh bags directly to your home, so you don't have to go to a coffee shop and pick up something. And the best part about them is every bag gives back to soccer charities. 10% of the proceeds go to organizations that use soccer to promote youth social development in the underserved areas. Use our code TPCOFFEE15 to get 15% off your order. You can order at kickoffcoffeeco.com or check out the links on our social media. Thanks.
Okay, my friend, it was an interesting weekend. I know we were celebrating Thanksgiving and we had a lot of football to watch after that, but let's talk about the opening one for the weekend, and that's the two heavyweights in Manchester City and Liverpool. I don't know if I had much of a prediction or thoughts on what would happen here, but it ends 1-1. Erling Haaland running away with the golden boot again. We thought Manchester City were going to beat Liverpool. Trent Alexander-Arnold coming in late with the goal there to make it 1-1. Thoughts on this game?
I didn't watch it, but I was surprised to see that it ended in a draw because I did expect Man City to edge it. But again, Liverpool keeps surprising me with their results and their resilience by finding results along the way and picking up points. So it seems like we're set up at this point for a three-horse title race.
Yeah.
But we expected Spurs to be there, and they've seemed to have fallen off. So maybe the other two will eventually fall off too, and Man City will come out again.
We'll talk about Spurs here in just a second. One I want to talk about, and I know you didn't watch it, but it's just an interesting result in Luton 2, Crystal Palace 1. And Luton Town, are they settling in, or is it just a bump in the road for Crystal Palace?
I think they're settling in. They've changed the way they play. It's not just, let's just go long. They want to actually play. And they're learning, they're adapting, they're picking up points. The Everton deduction may have galvanized them a little bit as well. So you never know. They're starting to pick up some form maybe at the right time. And a few more right results, draws, and a couple more wins, they may be in business.
That will be an interesting one because I think you and I pip them to be going straight back down. So it's going to be a very interesting.
Everyone did.
Especially with the smaller stadium and everything, but a good result for them nonetheless. So it's going to be exciting to see what they can do for the rest of the season and how they build off of here. Rahul, a team that climbs to the top of the league, and that's Arsenal beating Brentford 1-0. And I think Kai Havertz with his first Arsenal goal, a late, late, late header. And we've seen him do that for us before as well. He comes off the international break playing left back for Germany, scoring there. Is this the resurgence of Kai Havertz?
You and I both know it's not. he's capable of these moments, and I'm glad he got one because he needed one. But we do know that it's not now something that's going to be, Kai Havertz is going to go on this scoring run or going to be playing great, but he pops up, Arsenal get what they came for, and they go top.
You watch now, Kai Havertz goes on a 10-game scoring streak, and we'll remember these famous last words from Rahul. Let's talk about the team you mentioned earlier, Tottenham. Rahul, after losing to us, they've kind of lost their rhythm a little bit. They lose 2-1 to Aston Villa, who has been a good team so far this season. They're really fighting for that top 6-8 position at this point.
They were fighting for top of the table. Their fans were celebrating the... Oh man, the game before our game, they were just flying, and I'm glad we brought them back to ground. And then Wolves and Villa have really kind of stuck it in to bring them that back down to earth. So look, they, even though they lost, they could have easily won that game. So yep. they are creating, maybe with a few more players coming back from injury, they may have better luck. But at this point, at least we have someone giving us company in misery land.
Listen, they will always remember the month of October when they won the Premier League for October only. Let's talk about the final game, Rahul, and not necessarily the game, because Everton play Manchester United, and I think it is a good result for Manchester United, an unfortunate run from Everton coming off the point loss. But it's more for what may be the goal of the season, and that too, I think just 2 or 3 minutes into the game, Garnacho with a fantastic Wayne Rooney-esque overhead kick. And you're just thinking, am I watching Wayne Rooney back in action for Manchester United?
Beautiful, beautiful overhead kick. And I'm watching them like, why can't we just score some? Like, we scored a great goal. Don't get me wrong. Raheem Sterling scored a good goal. But when Giroud was the last one I can remember scoring a bicycle kick for us. So yeah, great goal, taking nothing away from him, but I always like to bring it back to Chelsea, and I would really love for one of our players to score that. But again, United pick up 3 points, three yep. goals, and even with their crisis, and I say crisis in quotes, they pick up points.
And they're climbing the table. I'll run through the table real quickly. It's Arsenal in first, like we talked about. The heavyweights, Manchester City and Liverpool, in second and third, respectively. Rahul, I said Villa were going for eighth or seventh. They're sitting in fourth right now with Tottenham's downfall in fifth, and United in sixth, like we alluded to. The bottom three, Burnley in 20th, Everton in 19th, Sheffield in 18th, and Luton in 17th as they're climbing. Chelsea, we're still mid-table, my friend. We're keeping it consistent at the very least at 10th. So let's move on and talk about our game coming up, which is on Sunday. We are playing Brighton. We're back at home, and we have a good amount of history with Brighton in the last couple of years here. We've talked a lot about this on this show. What is your expectations from this game? Maybe after that, let's do a starting 11 prediction.
I honestly don't have any expectations.
scarred.
No, because it's, I mean, Brighton aren't having the best season. And I say that because of what they've achieved in the last season. And before sure. that, they sit in eighth, 22 points. We sit in 10th, 16 points. So they're still way ahead of us in at least the points. But they've had European distractions. I know they played this Thursday before they play us on Sunday. They've kind of gone off the boil, especially players like Mitoma. I'm not really hearing much about them. But they're always fired up to play us. They know we've taken some of their players. We took their manager last season. De Zerbi was pissed off about Levi Colwill not joining them. They did beat us at home last season. And honestly, I think it was 2-0, but it could have been a lot more, and they dominated that game. So I'm interested to see our reaction after that Newcastle game. And it's not going to be an easy game. Brighton are not an easy team. They play attacking and open football, which is good for us. But with the way we're conceding goals, that's not really good for us. So I'm looking at us. I'm interested to see how we defend, how Pochettino sets up. And ultimately, if we can come out of this with a positive result. I'm not going to say a win because I don't know.
It's going to be an interesting one for sure, given the history. And technically this season, I think we've played them twice. We played them in preseason. You and I were fortunate enough to be there and watch that game. We saw a couple of beautiful goals from Nkunku, Mudrik, Gallagher, Jackson. So the usual suspects that should be scoring as the season has come on, and hopefully we'll get to see them on the score sheet. But we also played them in the EFL Cup, Rahul, where we beat them 1-0. I don't think they were the same Brighton that we will see this weekend. They might be a little more fired up. And I know you said they have Champions League in between, or they have Europe in between, but I think they found a way to kind of grind out results this season. Yes, it's not the same consistency that they've had in the last couple of seasons, but either way, it should be an interesting fixture. I wouldn't say tasty, because Chelsea need to hold back on some of that aggression and hopefully no yellow cards or red cards from the Chelsea side. But why don't we do a predicted 11, my friend? Rob Sanchez in goal, an ex-Brighton man. Cucurella and left back, an ex-Brighton man, or does he go with someone else?
Rob Sanchez in goal, so that's definite. Malo Gusar right back.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Thiago Silva plays again. De Sassi comes in, and Levi Colwill at left back.
Okay, so we will not be seeing Cucurella as back as his
not starting,
his old stomping ground, not starting, and Levi Colwill, another one with ties to Brighton. There, he played on loan there for last season. Midfield two, I'm assuming Enzo and Caicedo back together, pairing it.
I think so.
Okay, and then are you going with Raheem Sterling and Gallagher as well as Palmer, or are you looking for some changes there?
I think I can't really think of anyone else. Maybe Mudrik comes in, Madueke, like you were saying, but Sterling scored a great goal. Palmer had one off game, and so did Conor Gallagher, so would seem a little harsh to drop them, but I do expect some changes. I just don't know who would get dropped.
Okay, and then for striker, is it going to be Armando Broja coming back in and maybe pushing Jackson, or do you think Jackson continues to hold his spot down?
Is Broja back?
Yes, he actually featured in the last game for a few minutes as well.
I maybe would go with him then and give Jackson that punishment. And we haven't really even spoke about the real punishment Jackson got for getting 5 yellow cards. But yeah, I'd go with Armando Broja.
Okay, so it's a very similar lineup. Obviously, a few changes in midfield with Caicedo coming back, starting lineup, De Sassi, and then we'll see Levi Colwill as well. So strong lineup. I think Brighton are going to be up for it. Rahul, we got carried away in the last one. So let's be a little bit more passive, just like the Chelsea team need to be. What is your score prediction, my friend?
So we haven't beaten them in the league since September 14th, 2020.
I can always trust you to go back in the archives and bring me a negative result here.
Well, I'm saying we're due a win, but we've drawn at home in 21. We've drawn at home again in 20. Ugh, I don't know, man. I'm going to go for a 1-1.
A 1-1, respectable. I think it's a good way to come back from a 4-1 defeat. I'm going to still keep a little bit of enthusiasm and go for a 2-1 win. I think that hopefully, the 4-1 was a wake-up call and can tell this team to do what they need to do to put the ball in the net and try to keep a clean sheet. And hopefully with the return of De Sassi and maybe even Levi Colwill, who we complained about being in left back, it shores up the team a little bit more and we can kind of go from there. So 2-1 for me, my friend.
Will you be going to the bar for this?
It's a little bit of an early kickoff, so I will be at home. I'll be under the covers, and if the game doesn't go the way I'm expecting, then maybe my eyes will go under the covers as well, and I will go back to bed as quickly as I woke up for the game.
Oh, man. It's sad, but it is what it is, right? So, and then Man City Spurs this weekend, which is the big one. So maybe Spurs will make it 4 out of 4, and we can continue to say we started the downfall, but hopefully that's not the only thing we have to hang our hats on for this weekend. But that wraps it up, guys. Please continue to subscribe and listen. It's at the Premier Chels on all podcast providers. And as Jackie mentioned at the top of the episodes, it's at the Premier Chels Pod on Instagram and Twitter. But we will be back with a new episode. But until then, stay safe and up the Chels. The Premier Chels has partnered with FuboTV. FuboTV is your home for live sports and TV without a cable in the US and Canada. You can watch on all your devices, which means you don't have to miss any of the actions or goals that Chelsea score in the Premier League and Champions League.
You heard that right. FuboTV networks broadcast Premier League, Champions League, and many other leagues and tournaments. So what are you waiting for? Start your free trial today at FuboTV.com/TPC.